Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
So some of you were able to be here last Sunday at the potluck when I outed myself as a New York Rangers fan. Please do not hold that against me during this afternoon's deliberations. Perhaps unsurprisingly, I have been following the Stanley Cup playoffs, and as the Rangers have struggled in this second series, I have been reminded of something that I sometimes forget since I'm no longer participating myself in team sports, and that is this. A congregation is not unlike a team in a team sport. I'll explain. When the New York Rangers or any other hockey team gets on the ice, they have a mission, right? Their mission is to win. Doesn't matter if the players are best friends off the ice or if they share social or cultural or political orientations or if they like the same hobbies. What matters is that they collaborate, work together well, and keep their mission in sight. And when they fail to accomplish their mission, like they did yesterday, they can't afford to point fingers or go into a funk or give up. Instead, they regroup, they recommit, and they figure out how to try again and again until they complete their mission. They have to get back onto the ice. They've got a scheduled game in 2 days' time. They kind of don't have any other choice. And because they know that the only way to accomplish their goal is by working together. They let themselves be divided. If they split into factions, if some of them just throw in the towel, they're not going to win their games. Yes, there's change and turnover over time. Players and coaches leave. New players and coaches come in. But however the team is constituted on any given day, it is committed and it works together. Congregations don't have a goal of winning, right? But we have goals, common goals. We have a mission statement, which Nathan will put up for us. This is USR's mission statement. Growing in mind and spirit, we act together as a beacon for justice and love, transforming self and the world. I'm going to invite you to read that with me again, okay? Growing in mind and spirit, we act together as a beacon for justice and love, transforming self and world. As you can see, you adopted that 8 years ago. So right there, already in that mission statement, is a recognition that we're like a team, acting together. We have this to guide what we do, right? It tells us that what we're seeking as participants and members in this congregation is justice and love in the world, the transformation of ourselves, the transformation of the world, growing in our own minds and spirits, being out in the world known as a beacon for these things, right? A beacon for righteousness and compassion, for growth and learning. It's not a bad set of goals at all. Not a bad definition of what it looks like to win as a congregation. But how do we get there, right? It's great to have a mission statement and a set of common goals, but how do we accomplish them? If you're a hockey team, one of the things you need to accomplish your goal is a set of rules for the game so you know how to even play, right? We also have a rule book. Nathan's going to help us again. We have a rule book. It's our covenant. It reminds us how we want to play, how we want to be together. And so this is it. This one I will read out to you because it's kind of long, so we'll go through it though. We build our community on a foundation of profound respect and love as we covenant together to respect and honor diversity among us. We embrace diversity of culture, race, sexual identity, gender, differing abilities, ages, and stages of life. We acknowledge that each person has a unique path and truth. We keep an open mind. We accept different language for expression for expressing that which we consider sacred. We covenant to communicate with kindness and support. We openly share our laughter and tears. We listen attentively and speak responsibly. We help, encourage, and trust each other. We seek and offer comfort and forgiveness. We covenant to foster a spirit of generosity among us. We give of our time, talent, and resources to keep our community strong. We work for justice and engage in acts of service and compassion to others. We commit time for spiritual growth in ourselves and in community. We celebrate the joys of discovery, embracing the fullest measure of our humanity. That one you approved in 2010. How many of you are super familiar with your mission and your covenant? So it's okay if the answer is you're not. That's okay. One and not the other. Okay. But so this is our rule book, right? It talks about keeping an open mind, speaking gently and listening carefully, honoring and encouraging all people. It talks about giving generously, making sure we make time in our complicated and busy lives to grow in our own selves and grow in this community. And although it doesn't spell this out exactly, like all covenants, it allows us to break the rules as set forth in our rule book and find a way back if we are willing to acknowledge wrongdoing, ask forgiveness. It's like taking a penalty, sitting it out in the penalty box, right? And you can come back in when you're done. Ours is actually a pretty amazing rule book. And in it, there's this word. A word that I remember showing up in team sports as a child, a word that I have used in personal relationships, a word that gets used for marriages and families and everywhere, and that word is trust. Trust is at the heart of our covenant and our work in community building, relationship building in a congregation, trust in each other, trust in the goal we have set for ourselves, trust in the value of the work we are doing together, and trust that if things get rough or if any of us break the rules, all of us have a way to come back together and make it right. But trust is really easy to say and really hard to do. And it takes time to build trust. I love that Brené Brown video, and it goes on for quite a bit longer, and I encourage you to find it online and watch the whole thing. But I love that she starts with this marble jar image, because we all know that intuitively, right? That over time, through a relationship, though we're probably not actually tallying it or putting marbles in a jar, we know who in our sphere can be trusted with the deep and important things. We don't often reflect, though, on what makes them trustworthy. We don't necessarily realize that often it is the small things that factor in very heavily. Things like remembering a name or showing up at a funeral, asking how someone is, being present, making half a hiney seat for your buddy to sit at the table. Little things over time build trust and make us capable of taking risks together. She goes on in the video to offer this definition of trust, borrowed from Charles Feltman. Trust is choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. Trust is choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. And that's actually how that story about the murder mystery ends. The husband decides to stop, takes the brush from his wife, starts to brush her hair, and asks her what's going on. He gives up the murder mystery to attend to that relationship. So trust is putting someone else's need above yours, maybe. Trust is sharing something about ourselves, aware that in the sharing we become vulnerable. Trust is effectively taking a risk. She continues to offer this really lovely different phrasing for this, saying that trust is braving relationship. All of us, I'm sure, have occasionally thought to ourselves that if we weren't in any relationships, we would never get hurt. If we never made ourselves vulnerable, we wouldn't have to risk pain. We know, again, pretty intuitively, often without a lot of reflection, that relationships take courage because they are risk. And so this notion of braving feels very powerful to me, at least. It takes bravery to embark on relationships and to cultivate trust. And she leads her audience through braving as an acronym, and we're gonna walk through them. Okay. So first, B, boundaries. There is not trust without boundaries. And this is a mutual thing. Both you and I are clear on our boundaries, express them, and then honor our own and the other parties. If you've participated in raising a child, then you know that this is true, that boundaries help us to feel safe and secure. They give us a place to bump up against when we need to. They give us an awareness of where the limits are. They provide structure and comfort so we know where we stand in relation to other things. R, I can only trust you if you do what you say again and again. This is about showing up. Trust isn't built in one kept promise, right? It's built in many kept promises. And also in clear communication that is honest and real. Don't say yes if you know you're going to end up saying no, right? We've all had someone in our lives who does that. Don't say things we don't mean. Don't pretend to make plans we never intend to follow through on. Speak honestly and follow with action. Be present. A, accountability. I can only trust you if when you make a mistake, you're willing to own it, apologize for it, and make amends. So hold a high standard for ourselves and each other, and know that we are humans. Flawed and beautiful humans. This is just like our covenant, actually. We will make mistakes. That is pretty much inevitable. And there has to be a way to come back together. We have to be affirmed in our humanness, and we have to be able to be okay with ourselves and the other making mistakes. As long as all of us have a chance to apologize and take responsibility and make amends. That's what accountability is. V is vault, keeping a confidence. This is incredibly important, especially in congregational lives. Congregations can often be not so great at vaults, right? We're a community of people that love each other and care and are like a family often. And sometimes there's talking that shouldn't happen. And we have to know that our confidences will be kept when we're in a deep relationship like this, that there won't be gossiping or rumors, that things shared deeply will be held in care. It's a really important part of what it looks like to trust. I is integrity. Choosing courage over comfort, choosing what's right over what's fun, fast, or easy, and practicing your values, not just professing your values. Integrity, to me, is about living a consistent life, so that what we say in here guides our life out there, so that doing the right thing, even when it's hard, is what we come to want to do, what we need to do. N, non-judgment. You and I both can struggle and ask for help without judging each other. Again, we are only human. We will have moments of struggle, all of us. We need to know, in order to trust, that we can share those struggles and ask for help in those struggles without being judged as lacking. And finally, generosity. Our relationship is only a trusting relationship if you can assume the most generous thing about my words, intentions, and behaviors, and then check back in with me. Generosity is something covered in the USR covenant, as you saw. This is a different kind that she's talking about here. She's talking about generosity of spirit and interpretation. The idea is to assume best intentions about words and deeds, and then to check in, make sure that's what's actually happening. It's a hard one, but it is central to building trust and displaying trust. We have to try to assume the best in each other. So boundaries, reliability, accountability, vault, integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. These are the elements of trust. They help us build it. They help us embody it. And they help us figure out where the trust isn't working, where we're falling short, where we need to work on what we're doing and how we're being together. I love this idea of braving. And these components make sense. They are, I think, what it takes to build a partnership, a community, a trusting relationship over time. And it's what I believe a partnership in ministry has to look like. Our Unitarian Universalist history has some roots that go back millennia, and other strands that come up in the Protestant Revolution, when some radical folks started teaching that all people have access to truth. They came up with this idea of the priesthood of all believers. Is this a phrase you've heard before? That all people can commune with their vision of the sacred. All people can offer to each other support and solace. And that vision still holds today in our Unitarian Universalism. We have ministers, obviously, and we expect those ministers to have a certain expertise, a certain moral compass, a certain set of ethics, personal and professional, that they live by. We expect them to have a certain set of skills in spiritual direction and writing and administration and governance. But we're also committed, at least these days, to what we term a shared ministry. It recognizes that the work of a congregation is broad and that one person alone cannot accomplish it. What is more, the work of the congregation is about community building and relationship building, and that is a two-way street of braving. One person can't and shouldn't try to do it alone. A partnership in ministry, though, means coming into a place of trust. It means building up those marble jars with each other by showing up, by being clear and honest, by working on our communication, by behaving with integrity, being generous in our interpretation of each other, not judging each other, and apologizing and forgiving. When we're able to create a shared ministry, all sorts of things become possible. We can reach a depth and a wideness of spirit. We can extend our reach even further into the community. We can come into an even greater ability to reach our mission, our common set of goals. When we cultivate and develop a shared ministry, we are living our covenant, able to pursue and reach our goal of growing together and changing the world. Now, shared ministry isn't easy. The kind of clarity and transparency and trust required not only takes time, it takes attention and work over the long haul. But as we know, although partnerships and relationships are risky and hard, they bring infinitely more rewards when they are healthy and attended to and cultivated and treated with care. Relationships of depth and meaning, relationships we fill with hope and faith and love and joy, are well worth the effort. That work pays off in the rewards of trust, confidence and safety, a power and a strength that is multiplied, the ability to become and accomplish so much more than we can when we are on our own. Braving relationship lightens our load and doubles our joy. It is worth risking. It is worth braving to come into a depth together.